if I could tell the love of God that is flooding all my heart, and the sweet foretaste of heaven that Jesus doth impart. Oh, if I could tell the peace and joy and the wealth he doth bestow, you would rather be an old-time Christian more than anything you know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and my life is free from sin. It's a heaven here on earth, praise God, to go to heaven in. Yes, I'd rather be an old-time Christian, Lord, than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with a Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and my life is free from sin. It's a heaven here on earth, praise God, to go to heaven in.
Good morning, friends. It's certainly a privilege to be coming your way once again with a short gospel broadcast. I hope that each of you are well and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. And now this scripture. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Genesis 32:24-29. This scripture has to do with a very important Bible character. You may recall some of the experiences in Jacob's life which were not altogether commendable. I wouldn't say so anyway. I wonder if in our lesson today Jacob doesn't recall these things in his past experience, and if his conscience wasn't troubled. It might have also been troubled over the fact that he got that blessing from his father Isaac after Isaac was old, and before Jacob left home, he deceived his father, making him think that he was really Esau when he wasn't, and deceived him because Isaac was blind, unable to see, and he deceived him and got the blessing. Now, since then, of course, Jacob has prospered. God has given him a family, has given him cattle and wealth, and oh, he just had many blessings. But there was one thing lacking. That was the peace within his heart. And the time that had gone by, the years that had passed, yet it didn't erase that guilt, no doubt, that was still upon his conscience. I believe Jacob's conscience was hurting him when he was out there wrestling with the angel that night, because he had come face to face with a problem in which he needed help. This time, he wasn't resorting to trickery. He wasn't resorting to deceitfulness or power which he may have gained, because he was in trouble. He needed help. He needed God's help. And I think this is exactly right. He did exactly the right thing in choosing to take his case to God in prayer. He prevailed with God. God blessed him. God brought about a favorable meeting with his brother Esau because of his prevailing with God. There was another Bible character. This time it wasn't one who had been sinful or wicked or anything like that, but God wanted to prove him. That was Job. He let him go through troubles. Oh, it was deep water, friends. He let him go through these things in order to prove his love for God. But there was one of his miserable comforters, if we might call it that. I think he gave some good advice here that might be well for us to notice. Eliphaz, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth, for thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. I like that. It shows how that if one will really put their confidence and trust in God, he will bring them through. But back to this man of God, or if we might call him a man of God now, I believe this would be correct, Jacob, after he had wrestled with the Lord and God had granted him favor, there's one thing he said here after this peaceful meeting with Esau that I'd like to pass on to you. It's worth our notice. I quote, "Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir." Genesis 33:14. Now, notice something about this statement here that he made to Esau, his brother. He called him Lord. That sounds a little different to me than what he had acted in the past years of his life. But this time he was giving reverence to Esau, his brother. And this willingness that he had for Esau to go ahead, you just go ahead now, I'll come along later. Don't you know a person gets like this after God has dealt with them and worked with them and all, they'll be willing for the other person to just go ahead, I'll come along. But this one thing here especially I want you to get, I will lead on softly. In other words, I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm going to take my time according as things work out for the best, and I'm going to come softly. I like that expression. I believe that should be a motto of God's children, that they should walk softly before him. There was another person one time who decided to walk softly. Do you remember that wicked ruler Ahab? Do you remember his wife Jezebel? And do you remember how he took Naboth's vineyard after they had had him killed? One day, God sent Elijah down there to Naboth's vineyard where Ahab was out there walking around, looking it over and seeing what he had gotten. And he told him, Elijah did, what God was going to do for him. The judgments that were pronounced against him and his family. Oh, they were terrific, friends. It's a pretty painful thing to reap the judgments of God which come against a person. But notice this statement here of Ahab. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. 1 Kings 21:25-27. Here this wicked king, after God had sent the pronouncement of judgment against him, he decided to walk softly. I say that was a good decision. Do you know that God even spared some of those judgments from coming in Ahab's life because he decided to walk softly before God? Now, it's a good thing for a person to walk softly before the Lord. There was another king, Hezekiah. He decided to do something here too after God had dealt with him. You may remember that he was sick and sick unto death. The prophet said to set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. He prayed. God heard his prayer. God delivered him and added years and years to his life because of it. Now here's what Hezekiah decided. What shall I say? He hath spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Isaiah 38:15. He decided to walk softly. I say that was a good decision he made. I remember that there was a couple in our congregation here in Guthrie. This has been a good many years ago. They had two small sons. When especially this younger son I'm thinking about now, when it was necessary for him to leave the building during service, when he came back in, he would just walk so softly up the aisle, just like as if he was afraid to make any noise. He was just on his tiptoes, just walking up there so softly. I get a good lesson from that. I believe the Lord wants us to walk softly before Him, too. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You for the privilege of bringing Thy Word to those out there in Radio Land today. We thank You for Thy Word. We pray that You'd help us all to walk softly before Thee. Help us to live so that when we come down to the end of life, we will have no regrets of how we may have lived before Thee. Bless each one this day now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, friends, for a few moments of your time. If we may be a help to you, be sure to let us know. We appreciate those who have stood by us so faithfully in the years gone by as we endeavor to bring the Word of the Lord over this station. If God should speak to you and impress you to contact us, we'd be so pleased to do so. You may write us by addressing your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Jesus is tenderly calling, why longer in sin remain? Come while His mercy is falling, and leave that weary plain. Why, oh why will you linger in guilt and dark despair?
Today, let me assure you that
Jesus
God is calling for thee. Give Him your heart while you have opportunity.
Down in the thraldom of Satan, the heart is deprived of peace, weary and pressed with the burden, but Jesus will release. Beautiful fountain from Calvary's mouth doth flow. Hear Him tenderly saying, 'Twill wash you white as snow.' Calling.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy. Thank God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.
Jesus is calling for thee.
Calling.